Let's open our Bibles to Luke chapter 2. We will begin in verse 41 through 52 there. It's nice to have everybody here this morning, those that are joining via the internet. Nice to have you with us today too. I'd like to remind you to continue to pray for the elections. Anybody realize, everybody realizes they're in an election, right? So do pray for that. Prepare yourself so you can vote. And that is a privilege that we have that many men and women have given their lives for. So it's something that we should do. This Wednesday night, we'll be in Revelation chapter 2 as we look at the church of Smyrna and what we can learn from that church too. And that is an important thing that we can do there. Anybody next October would like to go to Israel? There's some flyers out there. Still, it's a good price, and we believe that we'll be able to go to Israel a year from now. So if you'd like to get information on that, or give me a call if you'd like. But starting in verse 41, as we continue through the Gospel of Luke, and we're going to complete chapter 2 here. So Father, we pray that you would bless your word to us. Speak to our hearts as you can only do. We love you. In Jesus' name we ask this. Amen. His parents went to Jerusalem. Let's start in verse 39, actually. So when they had performed all things according to the law of the Lord, they, that be Joseph and Mary, returned to Galilee, to their own city, Nazareth. And the child, obviously Jesus, grew and became strong in spirit, filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. And wouldn't it be wonderful that could be said of us, strong in spirit, filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon us, you know? He's so kind to us because he does that in our lives. His parents went to Jerusalem every year at the feast of the Passover. So we know the Passover, and there were festivals where they would be called all to come to Jerusalem to worship the Lord. So a very, very important time for the nation of Israel. So they come from Nazareth. They come up to the up the mountain to Jerusalem there. And when he was 12 years old, they went up to Jerusalem according to the custom of the feast, the Passover feast there. And so we see more than likely what is happening here at age 12. He's going to be having his bar mitzvah, which means son of the law. And so he is coming of age. Some people take this section of scripture and say, Jesus rebelled against his parents? No way. You know, you know, you have to look beyond that very simply and see that he's fulfilling the law. He's there with his parents. What is going to happen is a very important thing as he comes of age in a very true sense at this point. And then verse 43 says, when they had finished the days, as they returned, the boy Jesus lingered behind in Jerusalem. And Joseph and his mother did not know it. But supposing him to have been in the company, they went a day's journey and sought him among their relatives and acquaintances. So very easy, you know, you move by families, you move by groups at that point there, no doubt. All the people coming down off of the mountain, so it would be easy that they would trust that he would be with other family members. He was safe, but when they look for him, see him not there, naturally as parents, they became concerned. So what we see there, verse 45, so that when they did not find him, they returned to Jerusalem seeking him. Now it was so that after 3 days, they found him in the temple. So a total of 3 days had gone by. They're there in the temple, and they find him sitting. Notice where he is, sitting in the midst of the teachers. I find that interesting and wonderful at the same time. You know, obviously Jesus has a heart for people, and he's right in the midst of people. And so he has a lot to say to those people. So he came there with a purpose at age 12, as we see there, sitting in the midst of the teachers. Number one, both listening to them. That is a good teacher. That's somebody that has a heart for God's people. He's willing to come and sit down with them and listen to them and maybe probing questions. And that's the way that we should be with people. We should always be interested in people. Often I find that sometimes we're too busy. We're just so busy in the things of the world, and we're going through life so quickly that we forget to just sit down and listen to people. It's a great art Sometimes I think it's being lost, unfortunately. So notice, number one, he listened to them, and then he was wise enough and confident enough asking them questions. 12 years old, very unusual for these people. And I imagine that if he's in the temple, he's got people that are very religious, maybe even there's a scribe there or a Pharisee there, who knows. And it says in verse 47, and all who heard him were astonished at his understanding and answers. Obviously, he knew things that they didn't know, and he's able to speak to those things. So when they saw him, verse 48, they were amazed, speaking of Joseph and Mary. And his mother said to him, son, why have you done this to us? Now, as parents, we would do that, right? We would think on a certain level. They're not going to understand what's going on at this point. And so it's a natural thing that Mary's asking it that. Son, why have you done this to us? Look, your father and I have sought you anxiously. But verse 49 will be the heart of what we'll look at today. And he said to them, why did you seek me? Did you not know that I must be about my father's business? Man, star that, circle that, memorize that, meditate upon that. That is a powerful, powerful scripture. He has given us a message. If it was important enough for a 12-year-old, Jesus, it's important for us to know that you and I have a calling, and it's very simple, to be about our Father's business. Each and every one of us have a call in our lives. Everybody in here breathing, living, they're alive and all that, so we know. So there's a call on our lives, and we must be about our Father's business. The challenge is, and we're going to talk about this, to get prepared for that, to hear that call, and then to respond to that call and be obedient to that call as we hear him speak to us. So again, why did you seek me? He's questioning their heart. He understands what has happened. He's not there with them. He understands on a physical level they are concerned, but he's asking them a question. Why did you seek me? Why did you truly seek me in this way? And did you not know that I must be about my father's business? Now, we have to remember that Joseph and Mary saw Jesus like you and I never saw him. You know, we can't even imagine. They remember when he was an infant, you know. I imagine probably at 1 year old, he changed his own diaper, you know. He was just so perfect and all that, you know. Can you imagine being the brother of Jesus or the sister of Jesus, you know, whatever it would be, you know. He's always perfect. He's always perfect. I can't keep up. There's no way, you know, and all that. And so they would see that he was different. There was something about him that was unusual. Because we're going to see a comment about Mary again, tucking it away in her heart and in her mind about this child that she gave birth to. And so he's just saying, did you not know that I must be about my father's business? But a lesson to us today, we'll look at that and we'll come back. But look at verse 50. But they did not understand the statement which he spoke to them. I guess not. You know, they didn't really understand. But then he went down with them, came to Nazareth, and was subject to them. But his mother kept all these things in her heart. He would be obedient. He would allow other years to go by until it was time for him. Think about all the years. In his ministry, he began at age 30. Most people believe at age 30 that you see there. And for 3 years, he walked there on earth in the midst of his ministry. So what about all those years before that? Can you imagine being with Jesus and watching him during those times? And then verse 52, Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and men. What's that verse tell us? That he developed in wisdom intellectually. You know, we know that he's 100% man, but yet 100% God, according to Scripture, Romans chapter 1. We see that. The stature is he's physically, he grows in favor with God spiritually. There we see, and then in the favor with men socially. He grew in that way. But again, look at verse 49. And he said to them, excuse me, why did you seek me? Did you not know that I must be about my father's business? And so I spent a little time this week, actually last week. You know, I have to tell you why we missed last Sunday, if you wouldn't mind. I just was a little concerned about something on Saturday night, and I just talked to Paul about that just in case. But I woke up and just everything was hunky-dory and all that, you know. And then I thought, you know, we're going to play hooky. And so we played hooky last Sunday. We actually did. We got up, and I thought I had the message prepared, this message. I could deliver that message, but I thought I had Paul, preparing a message, and I thought it'd be great for Paul. You guys will be blessed by Paul. So we played hooky. We got in the car, snuck out. We felt like two little kids. We really did. We really did. We just pulled out here, went by here, trying to duck down so nobody would see us and all that. And we just took off to northern Indiana, and we just drove around. James Dean Museum, how many people have been there? You're smart. You're totally smart. Not much there, really not much there. But we did that. We drove around and just had a good old time doing nothing. But we felt kind of guilty. But anyway, we got over it pretty quickly. So I've had 2 weeks to sit on this message and to think about it. And I got a question for us today. What is the Father's business? Jesus said, I must be about my Father's business. How would you answer that question? Just think for a moment. What is the Father's business? Anybody got an idea? You're going to have to speak up if anybody has an idea. Pardon me? Souls. There's my wife. Of course. But what are souls? People. I think my Father's business is people. I really do. I think people are precious to my Father, to our Father, to God. I think we are precious, don't you? I really believe that. We are precious. People are precious to God. You and I are precious to God. Now, not that precious from that movie, Precious. That's evil. What was his name? Yeah. Creepy. This is a good precious. A really good precious. Today, we are precious. And our Father's business is you and I. And every single person that's on this earth, every single person from Adam and Eve that has been born, every single person that will ever be born on this earth, that's our Father's business. Does that sound right? I really believe that it is. It's instructional to us, though, too. Our Father's business is to help His people, to fellowship with His people, to love His people, to care for His people, to save His people, to give His Son for His people. In John 3:16, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. The Father's business is people, that they would be saved, and they would live forever with Him. Now, Jesus' business is found in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2. Listen to this. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. In other words, His business, so many ways in Scripture too, I believe, is people. His business is people too. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, that has to do with people, who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. It's all about people. Father sending His Son because of people. Jesus going to the cross because of people. It's all about people. Do we carry people on our hearts? Do we carry people that we love in our minds and we pray for them and intercede on their behalf? It's good that we do that. We must be about our Father's business. And so first, our business on the Father's behalf is to fulfill Jesus' greatest commandment, which is to love the Lord God with all of your heart, mind, soul, and strength. Matthew 22. So our business is to do that. Love the Lord God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. And also, love our neighbor as ourselves. We are to love people, you and I. They come in all different shapes and forms. Some are happy, some aren't so happy. Some are righteous, some aren't so righteous. Some are downright cantankerous, right? People are people. Life is filled with people. But we are to carry people on our hearts. The priest carried the nation of Israel, the people on their hearts with the different tribes, the the garments that they had in that way. And so we are to carry people. Do we carry people? Do we walk through the shopping malls and people, we see people? Do we stop at a traffic signal? Do we see people next to us? Do we go to football games and do we see people? You know, whatever it may be, that's our Father's business, I believe. So first, our business on the Father's behalf is to fulfill Jesus' greatest commandment, and we spoke of that. Secondly, we are to be about our Father's business by going into all the world and preaching the gospel. We are to do that. We are to go into all the world and make disciples. It's about people, as we see that. And we are to be witnesses of Him. Why? Because it's all about people. Yesterday and Friday night, we had a little conference here, kind of about the Great Commission. And there were four speakers. And I invited two guys that had gone through the Bible College, Matt Schroeder, who's back there, and also Brandon Grayson. And I was so blessed by those guys. I truly was. I can say it in front of Matt. I was really blessed to see those guys stand up and with authority, God's authority, teach the Word of God. Because I remember them before. I remember them. But they've learned. They've learned well as I'm listening to the words. They've learned what they were saying. They've learned that it's about people. They've learned that the follow after the Great Commission and all that. So blessed by seeing what the Holy Spirit has done in their lives. It's very special to do that. And so, are there any preparations? Here's a question. If we have a Father's, we have business that the Father has for us to fulfill, the question to consider now, are there any preparations for doing our Father's business? Are there any preparations that may go through? Chris, where are you? There you are right there. I'm pointing you out. You guys don't know Chris, but you can see Chris. Stand up, Chris, please, if you wouldn't mind. I'm going to embarrass him. I'm sorry. He's bright, isn't he? Everybody say hi to Chris. Okay, he came to the seminar yesterday. Thank you, Chris. But he's a truck driver. And I was thinking about this. When you wanted to become a truck driver, was there any preparation that you had to go through, or did they just put you right behind that wheel and said, go drive that thing? Yeah, I hope you had preparation. I really do. Most of us in what we do, there's preparation. God is preparing you young people right here. You're young and so much is going on, but He's preparing you for things that He has for you. And so there's preparation going on in our lives today. If we have a civilian job, there's preparation. We learn how to be an engineer. We learn how to do different things. There's training that we go through, right? Pretty simple. But there's training that we go through to be about our Father's business. Turn with me to Isaiah chapter 6, please. One of my favorite chapters in the Old Testament, Isaiah chapter 6. And so, are there any preparations for doing our Father's business, for helping people? Are there any preparations? And if so, what are they? I believe that Matt would say this morning, I hope he would say, if he didn't, he'd be in trouble, but I hope he would say, and Brandon would say, that as we go through this, this would bear witness to things that took place in their lives. And we would sit here and say, yeah, we can rejoice that there's been preparation for Matt to go back to La Crosse, Wisconsin, and to be a pastor where, you know, he lived and got in so much trouble before that. But there was preparation. I was thinking about that yesterday as Matt was teaching, again, thinking of the Bible College and how the Holy Spirit did what He did. And I remember Matt not wanting to go back to La Crosse, if I remember it correctly. Didn't want to go back there because of all the bad memories and all that. He wanted to go and replace Billy Graham, I think it was, and all that. And then, but yet the Holy Spirit said, back to La Crosse. Really, Lord? But see, that was the Lord's business for Matt. People were there. And he's been able to share with people. And there's been many that have come to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. Was there preparation? Definitely preparation for Matt. There's preparation for us. There's still preparation that's going on. So if you wouldn't mind, very quickly, we're going to look at eight steps of Isaiah's relationship with God that are instructive to us in being prepared to accomplish the business that the Father has for you and I. It's very instructive, I believe. Now, the first step, and you'll see these on the screen, first step in preparation for us is to do our Father's business is comprehension. Comprehension. Who God is. Notice in verses 1 through 3. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting on a throne, high and lifted up, and the train of his robe filled the temple. Above it stood seraphim. Each one had six wings. With two he covered his face, with two he covered his feet, and with two he flew. And one cried to another and said, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory." As we know, prior to this, Isaiah was prophesying, but his life would never be the same after this chapter, after this experience with the Father, after his experience with God. And so this is the first step of preparation that can take place, I believe, in our hearts too, as it did in Isaiah. Comprehension, who God is. Who is God? He is holy. Holy, holy, holy. And that must take place in our lives. It truly must be. We must understand who God is. And the more that we understand who he is, then the more prepared we are to be about his business, which is people. And that's very important. How do we know about God? How do we find out that he's holy? We open his word. We fellowship with him. The Holy Spirit reveals certain things. We spend time in prayer. We go to church. We do all of these things. That takes discipline. It's very important that we would do that. If we want to be about our Father's business, we've got to allow this step of preparation to take place in our heart. And it's a constant step. It's not just one time. It's a continuation. If we want to be in the hands of God and we want to be useful in his hands, then we stay there and realize who he is in our lives. He's the King of Kings. Amen? He's the Lord of Lords. He is the author and the finisher of our faith. He is God, God himself. And so we rejoice in that, and we can never lose sight of that. But unfortunately, people do. Then they're not able to fulfill the business that God has for them. And so I believe one step of preparation, initially, we must find out who God is. We must be saved. We must be saved. There's many people that try to do different things for Jesus Christ that aren't saved, and the Lord can use those things, but it's more fruitful when they know the Lord. It is vital to have an awareness of God working in our lives. In fact, the Bible teaches us that God is holy and he is always at work around us. Henry Blackaby teaches that to us in Experiencing God. God is always at work around us. Where if we want to find our Father's business, find God, because he's always there working for us. If we want to find what we are supposed to do, find out where God is and go join him in your life. What he has called you to do. It is also vital for us to realize that God desires a love relationship with each and every one of us. As we know and find out who God is and we understand our relationship with him, it's important for us to understand he loves us. He's not mad at us. Hostility has ceased. Romans chapter 5 tells us that. He loves us. He has. He sent his son to die for each and every one of us. But a question today concerning comprehension, knowing who God is, that he's holy. Have we taken time to truly comprehend who God is? If not, why not? Do we take time to slow down? That's one of my most difficult things to do. I am a doer. I'm a doer. I've gone back and I'm doing my master's program at my young age, okay? I hate it. But I love it because it's stretching me where I don't want to be stretched. And I have a tendency to fight when, you know, things are not, I just don't like this, you know. Why? Because I have to sit down and slow down more than I want to. I have to sacrifice riding my bike. I didn't ride my bike this week, okay? That's very unusual. I love riding my bike. But when it came down to biker, my master stuff, yeah, the master stuff, what? Because I'm not going to let that guy right there who's in that program with me right there, Jeff, to get a higher grade than me. No way. He got a better grade on his paper than I did. I thought it was due a week early, so I just rushed through. Anyway, you guys don't need all those details. Who God is, he's holy. He's holy. We need to know that. Have we taken time to comprehend, truly comprehend who God is? If not, why not? Would be a question for today. Second step that we see in preparation for us is in doing our Father's business is conviction. Conviction. Woe is me. Look at verses 4 and 5. And the posts of the door were shaken by the voice of him who cried out. And the house was filled with smoke. So I said, woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips, for my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Before Isaiah was saying woe to everybody else, he got it right this time. He was being prepared for the ministry that God would introduce to him here. And he finally came to the point is, woe is me. Again, the second step in preparation for us to do our Father's business is conviction. This points to an awareness of who I am without Christ. You and I are sinners. This is a vital step in our preparation for doing our Father's business, for us being used to reach other people. We are sinners, just like the people we're reaching out to, if not greater sinners, in a very real sense. And so we understand that. If we're going to be about our Father's business, we know who God is, but also we know that we are sinners, and we're thankful for the grace of God. This step points out that a broken and contrite heart is a wonderful thing in the hands of God. David spoke of that in Psalm 51, verse 17. He said, the sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart. These, O God, you will not despise. Question. Each one of these has a question. Have you recently cried out to God as David did in Psalm 139 when he said, search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my anxieties and see if there is any wicked way in me and lead me in the way everlasting. Many times, and I continue to do it because of a person so impacted into my life, a 97-year-old gentleman when he went to be with the Lord, lived with us from 92 to 97. And this was his favorite thing to say when I would pray with him. He would cry out, Lord, search me. Mr. Willis, you're probably the most holy individual that I know, and you're still crying out, Lord, search me. One day I said, Mr. Willis, what's it like to know God? You've known God for only over 80 years. And he looked at me and he says, I have not even scratched the surface. And I go, oh, you know, it's amazing. It truly is amazing. We are to cry out, search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my anxieties and see if there's any wicked way in me and lead me in the way everlasting. What are we to do? We're to have a heart that's soft towards the Lord. We have an awareness of him, but we also have an awareness that if we sin, he would want it to speak to us. Step three, there, look at verse 5. In there you'll see the step three in preparation for us to do our Father's business, confession. I am undone. A person who is quick to confess sin is a person that is prepared to be used by God. Not only are we convicted, but we confess because of our relationship with God. That's how he prepares us. We know who he is. He brings us to the point to understand that we're sinners, but we don't leave it just there. We go and confess. In Colossians chapter 2, verses 13 and 14, Paul said, and you, being dead in your trespasses and the circumcision of your flesh, he is made alive together with him, for having forgiven you all trespasses. Anybody say praise the Lord? That's what he's done. Do we have a heart that is quick to repent? That's a step of preparation to be about our Father's business. Now look at verses 6 and 7. Then one of the seraphim flew to me, having in his hand a live coal, which he had taken with the tongs from the altar. And he touched my mouth with it and said, behold, this has touched your lips. Your iniquity is taken away and your sin purged. So what is another step of preparation that we see here? Cleansing. Your iniquity is taken away and your sin is purged. Anybody say praise the Lord for that? That's a preparation step. That prepares us. We begin to understand who we are in Christ Jesus. The enemy wants to tell us that we're just dirt bags. Jesus never tells us that. The enemy wants to point all of our, out all of our sinfulness, all the places that we feel. God, by His Spirit, may have us deal with that with us, but He doesn't keep us there. He takes us beyond that, which is very important. And so, in fourth step in preparation for us to do our Father's business, cleansing. Your iniquity is taken away, and your sin is purged. Jesus said in John chapter 1, if we say that we are, John said in 1 John chapter 1, verses 8 and 9, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. A person who understands what God has done with their sin is a person who has confidence that God can use them for His purposes. That's amazing. I'm going to say that again. A person who understands what God has done with their sin is a person who has confidence that God can use them for His purposes. Do we truly understand what God has done with our sins? It's important that we do that. As we step out, the enemy again will want to point out our sinfulness. He'll want to point out our past. But we can't change the past. Paul said, this one thing that I do, forgetting those things that are behind, I press forward for the high call of God in Christ Jesus. There's a great message in that. The enemy wants to keep us in the past. Jesus wants to take us to the cross, and through the cross, He wants to take us forward. And that's what we need to see and understand for our preparation. I love Psalm 103, verse 12. It says, as far as the east is from the west, so far has He removed our transgressions from us. Again, anybody say, praise the Lord. As long as we go east, we never catch up with our sins. If we do an about face, and that's what the enemy wants you to do, Jesus wants us to go forward, to understand we came to the Lord, we repented of our sins. What did He do at that very moment? He forgave us, and He cleanses us from all of our sin. How wonderful. And so as it continues on here, look at verse 8. This preparation of Isaiah for the Father's business. Also I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send and who will go for us? Then I said, here am I, send me. Step by step, Isaiah is getting prepared for the ministry that God's going to reveal to him here in this chapter. And it's not a very exciting ministry. But now we see that he is prepared to hear something that's very important. Next one up. Challenge. The challenge will come into the heart of a person that is prepared. Who shall I send and who will go for us? Now that there is nothing between us and the Lord, we can hear the true call of God upon our lives. God needs to do much work in our lives to prepare us to hear that call into service for Him. But after He has done that, we are ready to hear His call into service. Isaiah was. And we can be too, whatever that is. That's why I always say to a person, when a person comes to me and says, I want to be used by the Lord, I say, okay, what's on your heart? Did I not? I did. He came, he just retired. I love retired people. They got time, you know, and everything. And Dave came to me and I've got time. Okay, that's a good thing. He says, I want to be involved with people. And I said, that's a great thing. And then I have enough wisdom to say, well, what do you want to do? That's what I said. Because I don't know. I don't know what God wants for him. Now, I might have some ideas, and I was able to guide in a certain way. But then, I don't know. I would never seen Ron become Truth at Work. I would have never seen that. It's just perfect. He's just perfect there, right, Dave? He is. He's just perfect there. I love watching. I watch you guys and I just see you guys and stand back. I have a wonderful privilege to see from the position that I have. This young girl named Grace up here. Grace, right there. I was looking at her just in practice today and I said, I remember when she was right there. She was right there. To see that she's up there just belting it out, watching her be about the Father's business. It's an exciting thing. I watch moms. Do what you guys do. And I think, it is an amazing thing. It truly is. It's about the Father's business. We have a privilege to be about the Father's business. But there is preparation. And I believe that we're seeing an example of it here too. Who shall I send and who will go for us? Now that, again, I'll say this, that there is nothing between us and the Lord. He can hear the true call of, we can hear the true call of God upon our lives. But a question, does anyone find himself or herself in that place of preparation today? That place that Moses found himself in for 40 years, that place of preparation, that place of breaking down, that place of getting ready because he has something for you to do, even beyond what you're doing at this point. It's a wonderful, wonderful thing. It truly is. The first year that we came to Indianapolis, we were so excited following the Lord. And it was a year that I'd like to not remember. But no, it was a good year because it was a breaking down year. Remember, God isn't concerned about our abilities, just our availability. Someone once said or told me, I used to pray to God to use me. Now I've learned to cry out, Lord, make me usable. So often we get the cart before the horse. Lord, use me. But there's the preparation, as Isaiah went through it and we go through it, that he makes us usable. It's all part of the step of God working in our lives. Very quickly there in verse 8, we see the sixth step in preparation for us to be about our Father's business, commitment. Commitment. Here I am. Send me. The cry to be used by God is a wonderful cry indeed. But the question, is this truly the cry that is upon our hearts? Are we truly available to the Lord for any purpose that he desires? Any purpose whatsoever. Remember Mary's example in Luke chapter 1, where she said this, Behold, the maidservant of the Lord. These are her words. Let it be to me according to your word. We come to a point and we say, Lord, whatever you want to do. You want to take me back to La Crosse, Wisconsin, Lord? Then yeah, I know I walked with you in that. Matt, you came to that point and you said, Father's will be done, not my will. And that's where we get to that point in our lives. Just as Isaiah did, came to that point of commitment. Very, very important. Seventh step we see there, it says, in preparation for us to be about our Father's business, then he's prepared, and Isaiah was prepared for commission. Go and tell. Go and tell. How wonderful that is. God, in his great commission, has given us the same command. Go and win people to the Lord. Go and disciple people in Jesus and be sent with the power of the Holy Spirit. And then you see the last step there. Let's go through verse 9 and through 11. And he said, Go and tell these people. Keep on hearing, but do not understand. Keep on seeing, but do not perceive. Make the heart of this people dull and their ears heavy and shut their eyes, lest they see with their eyes and hear with their ears and understand with their heart and return and be healed. Then I said, don't miss this, verse 11, Lord, how long? Isaiah came to a point, prepared all the way. He saw the Lord. He understood his sinfulness. He was cleansed of his sin. He understood that. He heard a voice. Whom shall I send? He responded and said, Here am I, Lord. The Lord said certain things to him. But then he comes to this point, and the final thing that we see here is completion. Completion. The willingness to go and bury our bones is the final step in our preparation. It is that great and wonderful step of complete surrender. I learned in San Diego as a young pastor that I was there to bury my bones. God had called me to that. He had taken me through the process, really the process that we see in Isaiah chapter 6 here, came to that point, and he called me into ministry, and then I would say, Lord, how long? And he says, I want you to bury your bones here until I tell you different. And that's how I approached being an assistant pastor. That's how I did it. I was more than happy. That's what I thought my entire life would be called to do, to be an assistant pastor, because the call of God, I was there, I was committed at that point. Our call is not to continue until we decide to stop, but it is to continue until God tells us to stop. We will not be allowed to stop when the going gets rough. He calls us to continue to reach out to the unlovable until he takes us home to be with him. We are facing something that could radically change our nation. We are facing something that could radically change how we live our lives. You guys realize that, don't you? We're facing an election like maybe no other election that has ever happened to the United States of America. And neither one of these men are my Savior, and I know that they're not your Savior. Jesus is our Savior. I pray that he would be able to sit in the Oval Office. Wouldn't that be exciting? That would be wonderful. It'll come. It will come. But how this goes, ladies and gentlemen, brothers and sisters, is going to radically change our lives. There's a potential that it's going to stir us up, and that wouldn't be a bad thing at all. And so today, if you put up this last slide, what have we done? The last one there. We've looked at the comprehension, who God is. We looked at conviction, woe is me. Confession, I am undone. Cleansing, your iniquity is taken away and your sin is purged. This process that we see. Challenge, who shall I send and who will go for us? Commitment, here I am, send me, Lord. Commission, okay, if you say that, go and tell, Lord. How long? How long? Today, as we reflect upon our lives and the call God has for each and every one of us, may we remember the words of Paul the Apostle when he said, "But none of these things move me, nor do I count my life dear to myself, so that I may finish my race with joy and the ministry I receive from the Lord Jesus to testify to the gospel of the grace of God." Remember, it's all about people, is it not? It's all about people. Don't ever lose vision about people. You know, Chris, when you're selling real estate, you may be there to get a deal, to put bread on your table, but you may not get a deal, but it may be a big deal because it's about that soul that's in front of you that you're going to witness to. That's the way when I first got saved, I sold life insurance. Yeah, I did. I did. But when I knocked on the door, as a brand new Christian, I knocked on the door, I would say a prayer. Well, actually, I'd say a prayer before I got out of my car. Lord, am I here for bread and butter? Or am I here for eternal life insurance? Or even better, Lord, I pray I'm here for both. God is good, amen? Amen? So let us be about our Father's business. Lord, we thank you so much for the privilege. Thank you for the example of Isaiah. May we meditate upon that this week. You are so good to us. You're so kind to us. We love you. And we just want to be close to you. Because you say if we draw close to you, you'll draw close to us. And so we love you, Lord. Empower us for your glory. And use us, Lord. Use us. Help us just to be available for that which you've called us to do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.